Paul writes, I like this, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ." Or we all know the word good news, those two words together is the same word for gospel. "I am not ashamed of the gospel," Paul says. Why is he making such a strong point? He goes into explaining it. Basically, because it is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. The gospel is. Again, what's the gospel? He goes on to say, it's first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. And really, those days are gone, because it was like, okay, first it's going to go to the Jews and then it's going to go to the Gentiles. Well, it did, and it still needs to, but now it's for everybody, right?
Amen.
I have the scriptures to back that up. John 3:16, "For God so loved the whole wide world that He gave His one and only Son." 2 Peter 3:9, God, it's not on the screen, sorry. "God is not slow in keeping His promises, as some understand. It's because of God's mercy, because He wants everybody to be saved." Yes. We see in God's heart yet. Again, Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the good news. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power at work in their lives. It is because of the gospel that we're saved." It is, again, what is the gospel? Very, very simple. The gospel is that God, there was a sin problem in the world. God decided He would fix it. He did that through sending His one and only Son. We just celebrated His birth. I'm thankful for baby Jesus, but He did not stay a baby. Neither did you. Neither did your kids, nor your grandkids, nor their kids after them. Right? My kids are wanting another kitty. Don't you dare ask. No, they're not getting the answers. No, but we want them. They're cute that when they're kittens or puppies, right? And babies. They're so cute. But that kind of goes away when they get all grown up and they scratch you or whatever. The gospel is super important.
Amen.
I'm not going to take a lot of time. We're kind of at the end of where we need to be. But the next slide is Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. And I love this passage of Scripture. I'm not really going to go into all of it, but I love this account. Some friends brought this paralyzed man to Jesus. It says, verse 2, "Some people brought to him, that's to Jesus, a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, 'Be encouraged, my child. Your sins are forgiven.'"
Yes.
And one of the reasons I like this one is because Jesus does something really powerful in it. But this is super powerful right here when Jesus says, "Hey, your sins are forgiven." That's the power of the gospel. That's why the gospel is important. That's why Paul was saying, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it'll save somebody. They'll be forgiven from then on." Right? And that's why it's important. But can you picture yourself being that paralyzed man on a mat that your friends just carried you to see Jesus? Why?
Because they believed.
But they brought him because they didn't want to be carried around anymore. And he didn't want to be carried around anymore. He wasn't even thinking about his sins, probably. Oh, that's wonderful. My sins are forgiven. But I was really hoping to walk today. I guess I'm thinking outside the box. Forgive me. That's a bigger deal, really. And that's what Jesus was ended up saying. Picture it. Jesus said, "Hey, your sins are forgiven." But then the people in the crowd began to, in their hearts, say, "Who is this guy? He's out of his mind. He's cuckoo." And Jesus said, "Why do you got evil thoughts in your heart? How does he know that?" Because he's God, knuckleheads.
Yeah.
And then Jesus said, "Is it easier? Which is easier to say? You can say anything. Your sins are forgiven, yeah. But we can't see that, right? We can't see that somebody's sins are forgiven. Yeah, we can kind of see the effect of it because what kind of a load's lifted off, right? After when our sins are forgiven. But Jesus said, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or hey, right, rise up, be healed, and take your mat and go home. In that situation, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven. Because you can't really see whether that outcome took place or not. But if you say, be healed, and they stay on their mat, right? Mm-hmm. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
That's right.
Because Paul looked in the sorcerer's eyes, and Paul looked in a fortune teller that kept bothering him day after day after day and said, devil, come out of her. Mm-hmm. Paul saw these things. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because it's the power of God for salvation. It's the way you're saved. It's the only way that you're saved. Yeah. Scripture also says that there's no other name given unto men by which we may be saved. There's only the one name, the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so this is good news. This is part of the good news. This is why we shouldn't be ashamed, because our sins can be forgiven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, this scripture is incredible. So all of us who have had that veil removed, okay, that veil over our spiritual eyes, that veil has been removed because of the blood of Jesus. All of us who had that veil removed can see. We can see better because guess what? There's not a veil covering the eyes, right? And you know what? They used to do that to horses. They put those blinders, right?
Yeah.
So that they couldn't see everything, and that was beneficial so the horse didn't get distracted, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Good for us too sometimes.
That's true.
Yeah, looking straight ahead. So that we can see, because that veil's been removed, now we can see better. And, look at that, and reflect the glory of the Lord. Basically, we're just little mirrors. We're supposed to be little mirrors. Because that veil's been removed because of the blood of Christ, we can now see, but we can also then reflect who Jesus is to others. Isn't that exciting? And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image.
Amen.
Again, another reason why we're not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel impacts people. Yeah. Because the gospel is what changes people. The gospel removes the veil so that we can actually see now. Because have you ever... You know what? It was Bonnie. A year or two ago, she told me, she said, Pastor, I was at the store today. She told me, she was right there. She said, I was talking to somebody, and I just looked in their eyes, and I just saw emptiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just saw all kinds of emptiness, darkness in them. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Now we're not the Savior. We're like, hey, don't let me tell you about my friend Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He changed the world, and He can change yours too.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
He changes us. That's why we're not ashamed of the gospel. Colossians chapter 1, verse 6. This is the same good news. This is the same gospel that came to you. Is going out all over the world. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Back there are missionaries. We got some in Hispanic-speaking countries in South America. We've got some in the Middle East. We've got some in Europe. We've got some in Africa. We've got some in several in Vanuatu. Out in the Pacific, I can't remember anymore what that's called, but anyhow. The same gospel that came to you is now going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere, praise God. Look at it, by changing lives. Yes. By changing lives. That's what the gospel does. That's what Jesus does.
Yes.
You don't. There is no gospel without Jesus.
That's right.
It doesn't happen. It doesn't work. It couldn't work. Because it's good news because of Jesus. Jesus is the good news. The gospel, the same gospel that we preach here, the same gospel that's changed our life is changing lives all around the world. Just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You'll be hearing more about that grace in days or weeks or months to come. We hear more about that grace. That grace is pretty powerful, isn't it? And here he calls it wonderful. And just had a couple quick scriptures there, quick thoughts. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity, the privilege of prayer, the privilege of being in your presence, the privilege of bringing requests to you on behalf of others or on behalf of ourselves or both. We are so thankful, God, that you hear us when we pray. Father, increase our faith. Help us to see miracles happen as we call upon the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for touching bodies. I thank you for touching hearts and changing lives. I thank you for the gospel. Lord, we declare tonight that we are not ashamed of your gospel because we understand that it is the power of God to change a person's life. And we rejoice in that today. Lord, I look forward to hearing the report and meeting Sonia and Bob. Because, Lord, I believe that you hear us when we pray. And I believe that you're going to begin to work in their heart and even in their mind. And there are going to be situations that are going to begin to impact them. And, Lord, I give you the praise for it. Because, Lord, you did that with me. And likely you did that with each and every one of us. You began to work in our hearts. And then when the time is right, we get to hear the gospel. And even if we get rid of it and discard it at first, your Holy Spirit brings it back around. So Lord, continue to do that. Use us as your agents who are going to reflect your glory. Help us to see clearly and use us to lead others to Christ. Use us, God, to lead others to you. May that be the reason this church exists, to glorify you in worship and praise, but also, God, in leading others to you. We give you all the praise for it. We thank you, Father, for your many blessings. Empower us by your Holy Spirit with the gifts in operation, and Lord, for all for your glory. We thank you. Give you the praise for it. Bless our kids and youth as well tonight. And Lord, go with each person. Give them a safe trip home tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.